You're listening to Sounds Good on WKMS. It's our midday music and community conversation program. I'm your host, Tracy Ross. On the phone now, I'm pleased to be joined by Murray State archaeologist, Dr. Anthony Ortman. Dr. Ortman, thanks for being on Sounds Good today.
Thank you.
You have I've recently read an article in which it talked about your discovery about Mound A at the Poverty Point site. I guess let's start at the beginning and first explain the significance of the Poverty Point site on your work, and then let's get to thoughts about Mound A before your discovery, and then now thoughts post the work that you did with T.R. Kidder of Washington University.
Okay. Well, Poverty Point is it's a very large Native American archaeological site. It's located in northeast Louisiana, and the site was occupied between about 1700 to 1300 BC, which actually makes it a pretty old site. Now, during the time that it was occupied, the people who lived there actually built some of the largest artificial earthworks in all of pre-Columbian North America. And these earthworks consist of four very large mounds and a set of six long ridges. And this whole site is really massive. The thing covers about, well, a little over a square mile. And part of the reason that Poverty Point is so important to our understanding of North American prehistory is that, first of all, it is one of the largest earthwork complexes in North America, but it was also a site that was built and occupied entirely by hunters and gatherers. In other words, people who, rather than growing crops or raising domesticated livestock, these were people who relied entirely on nature to provide all of their food. And traditionally, archaeologists, we tend to think of hunters and gatherers as people who live in very small groups, people with very informal social and political and economic relationships. And so when we find things like monumental earthworks at Poverty Point associated with a hunting and gathering society like this, you know, traditionally we assume that these things were built by a very small group of people working over a very long period of time. In some cases, you know, our traditional models would suggest maybe hundreds of years to build some of these earthworks.
And so your study actually led you to the conclusion that, in fact, Mound A, which was the largest mound, did not take hundreds of years. It did not take decades, but it could have been built start to finish in as few as 30 days. Is that correct?
Right. So what we did, starting about 12 years ago, we started excavating each of the mounds at the site. And what we found really challenged some of these older assumptions about, you know, sort of the level of organization of hunting and gathering societies and the rate of construction of these earthworks. So when we dug Mound A at Poverty Point, and Mound A is the largest mound at the site, in fact, it's the second largest earthwork in all of North America, what we found was that this thing was certainly built in less than 90 days and possibly as little as 30 days. Now, to put that in perspective, that's pretty staggering because the mound actually, it's about 70 feet high, it's about 600 feet on each side, and it contains about 8.5 million cubic feet of earth. And keep in mind that when they were building these things, you know, they were using what we would probably consider to be very simple technologies, things like wooden digging sticks and baskets to carry the dirt over and put it on the mound.
Doesn't this speak to a much higher level of leadership than would normally be thought to have existed within hunting gathering communities?
That's exactly what we're arguing, and in fact, this is pretty staggering when we kind of step back and look at hunting and gathering societies, prehistoric hunters and gatherers, and we look at, you know, sort of our traditional ideas and compare it to the actual data that we're getting from these mounds. It's pretty staggering.
With all of the natural resources that we would take to build a mound like this, your research showed actually that a lot of these resources came from far, far away. Not only that, but this flow was not two-way. Most of this was things coming into this site and nothing leaving. Do you have any explanation for that pattern?
Well, yeah, so Poverty Point is unusual for a number of reasons. It's so large and so early, and there's this extensive trade network that seems to be bringing stone in from, in some cases, as far away as Georgia, possibly even the southern Great Lakes. Certainly a lot of stone that was being used there, for instance, was actually coming from this area of western Kentucky and western Tennessee. But it is unusual to see literally tons of raw materials like stone being transported that far, and yet we don't really find anything being exported from Poverty Point. And what we're looking at right now is this idea that Poverty Point may represent some sort of prehistoric pilgrimage center. In which people, you know, periodically aggregate it together at this site to communally work on these earthworks and participate in probably larger ritual practices.
Now, isn't it true that the civilization that built this mound actually didn't get to enjoy it for a very long period of time, and actually it kind of disappeared, didn't it?
Mound A, the large mound, looks like it was one of the last features that was actually constructed at the site. And probably within 100 years or less after that mound was built, right, the site is abandoned. And in fact, as far as we can tell, a good portion of the entire lower Mississippi River Valley is abandoned after that point.
How seismic is this discovery of the rapidity at which this mound was built? How seismic has this been to the archaeologists that study early Americans?
Well, we've gotten a great deal of feedback from the archaeological community, some positive, some negative, but I think it's certainly getting people to think in sort of non-traditional ways about these kinds of communities, these kinds of hunting and gathering societies.
Have you met with any real opposition from people who are of the minds that this could not possibly have been built in such a short amount of time?
Oh, sure. But really, at this point, that is that's not the larger consensus. And I think that some of these, I think like any discipline, you know, archaeologists are reluctant to change their paradigms, to change the way they think. But we're seeing a change in the way that people think about these sorts of things.
Will this cause more people in your field to go back to sites and maybe reanalyze some of the things that they thought that they could just take for granted now?
I hope so. I hope so.
And so for you personally, what's up next for you in your field?
Well, I actually have quite a few projects. I hope we'll get back down to the lower valley, lower Mississippi Valley, sometime soon, and work on another site that is closely related to Poverty Point, a site over in Mississippi called the Jaketown site, which is another large mound site that is part of the Poverty Point culture, but appears to predate Poverty Point by at least a few hundred years. And we're going to try to look there for some of the earlier or origins of the Poverty Point culture.
Well, can I ask if our listeners have their interest has been piqued by this story? Is there a place online they could go and kind of read a synopsis of your findings at Poverty Point?
I don't have anything up myself, but I know that American Archaeology Magazine and Archaeology Magazine, which are two popular magazines obviously devoted to archaeology, have both recently run stories on our research at Poverty Point, and they're, I think, available online.
Well, this is all very exciting. Dr. Anthony Ortman, archaeologist here at Murray State, thanks so much for taking some time to talk to us today on Sounds Good.
All right, thank you.